Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune, Pastor Dusty White, and Chris Hemmelman of Coram Deo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're continuing our conversation on the seven deadly sins. Over the last couple weeks, we've talked about gluttony, lust, greed, and today, we're talking about sloth.
Peter Kraft, Back to Virtue, chapter 11, quote, "Of all the seven deadly sins, sloth is the most distinctively modern. Nothing so clearly distinguishes modern Western society from all previous societies as its sloth." That claim sounds absurd in view of the fact that we are busy, fussing, fidgety, anxious, fast-moving, success-worshipping, performance-oriented, Martha-type society, replete with ulcers, nervous breakdowns, and suicides. But at least we are hardworking. We have the highest gross national product. How can anyone say we are lazy? I did not say we are lazy. I said we are slothful. End quote. Fascinating starting point from Peter Kraft, because he says sloth is not necessarily laziness. Here's how he defines sloth. And he's working in a good historic theological tradition here, that sloth is a lack of appetite for God. It's the non-seeking of God. It's essentially, we might think of it as apathy, as just not caring. So it's not laziness necessarily. It can manifest itself as that way, but it's a deeper problem than that, because it's a lack of spiritual appetite. He says, sloth stops us from seeking God, and that means we will not find him. Sloth is the most depressing thing in the world. It finds our very highest joy, God himself, joyless. If joy himself is joyless, where then can we find joy? And so he goes on to say, sloth is a cold sin, not a hot one. And that makes it even deadlier. Rebellion against God is closer to him than indifference, just as hatred is closer to love than indifference is. He says it'd be better for us to be opposed to God, to be actively against God, than just to be apathetic. So interesting starting point, guys. I don't know where that causes us to jump into the conversation, but it's interesting to broaden this out immediately, just bigger than laziness. So let's keep following Kraft here in the distinction between sloth and laziness. He says sloth is not just laziness. There are two kinds of laziness. The first, not working or not working hard, is a sin. Preferring the pleasures of resting to the sweat of needed labor is irresponsible and self-indulgent, but it is not the sin of sloth. Sloth is the refusal to work at our heavenly task. The second kind of laziness belongs to a phlegmatic or slow temperament, such as is often associated with the lifestyle of hot climates. Relaxing is not sloth. The person who never relaxes is not a saint, but a fidget. Ironically, it is often just such a fidget who is guilty of sloth. Why are we so busy? Why, in this age of time-saving devices, does no one have any free time? Why, now that we have technology to do our labor, is life emptier of leisure than it ever was in pre-technological societies? What are we hiding from ourselves with all this pointless and unhappifying activism? We are hiding ourselves. We are hiding the God-sized hole in our hearts. We are trying to paper the hole over with 1,000 things, but they are all thin, and we know we will fall through the hole if we get too close. So we don't. We avoid God's absence as much as God's presence. We are slothful.
Man, let's just change it to the Back to Virtue podcast.
So the fascinating point there, gentlemen, is that the most slothful people can also be the most fidgety and the most active and the most busy. And that's a paradox. We often think of sloth as the lazy person. He's saying the fidgety, I can't rest my soul, I can't rest my mind, I can't find any space just to be, that person is often just as guilty of sloth, because what they're doing is they're trying to avoid God, God's presence, communion with God, allowing my soul to feast on God. And because I'm avoiding that, that's what the sin of sloth is at its root, is avoiding God, not having passion for God, not engaging God.
So to put it another way, could it be a slothfulness towards spiritual discipline that requires a quieting of the spirit to reflect, to pray, to engage and meditate on Scripture, so that you're a pursuit of God that builds up the spirit, and so very much requires a stopping of activity for quiet and reflection, and maybe even solitude, if that's a component of it.
So let's go even further, Chris. Many people who say, I don't have a desire to pray, I don't have a desire to read my Bible, I find it hard to engage in spiritual disciplines, probably need to ask the question if they're guilty of the sin of sloth.
It's interesting that he phrases it and works it out the way he does, because just in reflection and listening to what you're reading, Bob, reflecting on myself, it's much easier to keep on going, to keep working, to make myself busy than to stop. It's almost harder work to stop and be disciplined in spiritual things than it is to do the non-spiritual, quote-unquote, like just busying myself with things to do.
Yeah, it's another way, I think, to summarize what Crave is saying. These aren't his words, but essentially he's saying that sloth is spiritual laziness. It's a soul. It's a laziness of soul, and oftentimes that laziness of soul results in a flurry of activity, because my busyness is actually my means of keeping my soul dull and dead and not doing the hard work of engaging the Lord. So it is a kind of laziness, but it doesn't manifest itself as I'm the guy laying around not going to work all day. It could manifest itself as that,
but
it's more that spiritual apathy, spiritual laziness that may manifest itself in, I'm the person who's perpetually busy.
Which is why he calls it a cold sin instead of a hot sin, because your heart is cold, your soul's grown cold, and you're numbed out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you think about it evangelistically, or as pastors and leaders, I'd always rather see and have a conversation with a really engaged, passionate atheist than a Christian who just doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Because a Christian who doesn't care, there's no way to light the fire, you know? An atheist who's passionate about their hatred of God might become the Apostle Paul, who's passionate about planting churches all over the known world, right? Like, that's what you see, is the Apostle Paul was passionate about persecuting Christians, and then he was passionate about Jesus. And so it is very true that sort of that deadness of soul, that spiritual malady of sloth, kills righteousness and virtue and godliness and any sense of worshipful joy in my soul.
So for anyone listening to this podcast that would maybe feel some conviction, say, yeah, I am slothful in my spiritual disciplines and my attitude towards God, how would you then combat this, or how would you confront this idol? What do you think is at the root of this, of just, I am indifferent about spiritual things, about God?
Actually, the first answer, I think, Chris, is what this podcast is seeking to do, which is to move this from a victim to a sin mindset, right? Because I think most people who feel that indifference are like, man, I don't know, I just don't have any desire. I don't, like, it feels like this just sort of happened. I don't know why I'm this way. And now putting it in the category of, actually, you're committing the sin of sloth. You need to study that, learn what that is, and repent of that. Now you've moved the needle from God's not showing up, it's God's fault, to I'm in sin, it's my fault. And that's, I think, the first step that sparks a turning from this. So it matters whether I see this as something that's foisted upon me by God, who apparently is distancing himself because he doesn't care, or something I'm choosing out of my own laziness and apathy. So even just the willingness to call it the sin of sloth begins to awaken, okay, so it's something I can repent of. I can turn from it. God's grace is present to move me to somewhere new. Jesus did die for this sin. The Holy Spirit does exist to awaken love and passion and desire. all the language of the New Testament is language of love and passion and desire and seeking. Kraft in his book, you know, I mentioned a few weeks ago that, this book, Back to Virtue, is he's reading the Beatitudes as the answer to the seven deadly sins. And the beatitude, he says, counters sloth, is the one of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. He says the opposite of sloth is hungering, seeking God, searching for, seeking after him, and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So the way that we awaken that hunger, that longing, is just by seeking, by saying, okay, I'm going to begin to seek God, and I'm going to take God at his word that those who seek find, and those who knock, the door is open to them, and those who call out are answered. Sloth is just the unwillingness to even knock or call out or seek.
I did that very thing today with a guy who grew up in the church, grew up as a pastor's kid, and his dad walked out on him at a very critical age. And so we read scripture together, and when we were reading scripture, I could tell that it was just like words on a page. And so one of the things that I asked him to do was to go away and to continue to read that same scripture, praying beforehand and afterhand for the Spirit to awaken that scripture to him, because just we had talked about his soul just being numbed out and having been there and done that, and assured him that when the Spirit did awaken him, he would know. I mean, he would be well aware of when the Lord would awaken that coldness, that deadness in him.
Yeah, I think of people that I've known and either just in friendship or even counseled that really had this sense of deadness, and just that the whole concept of the gospel, the whole concept of Christianity just seemed to be lifeless and dead and dull. And really, in many ways, there was a significant issue with just in how they understood who God is and what the nature of the gospel. And so, again, it's not, I don't want to chalk this up to they've just been taught poorly, but really a lack of understanding and engagement with the depth of what the gospel means and who God is, and just even the narrative of redemption. And so even just talking to people on the level of getting at what scripture teaches, who God is, that this narrative, this dramatic narrative, and trying to spur up in them just some response, like get mad, get frustrated, ask questions, you know, wrestle with God's sovereignty, wrestle with fairness. I don't know, just something, but look and see that the narrative of scripture invites and even provokes response in some way, and trying to get them just to even see that and respond to that, because somewhere along the line, they just viewed it as just this kind of this dead, old, stuffy, stodgy story.
And Bob, you said if I'm not engaging in spiritual disciplines, I need to confront maybe the idea that I'm slothful or committing the sin of sloth, which is also, to take that even further, when things are just maintenance-y, that's probably also when my heart is drifting towards being slothful as well. And so I need to pray and confront the sin of slothfulness even in maintenance-y like spiritual disciplines as well.
Exactly. Let's think, too, about how the gospel overcomes and disempowers the vice of sloth, because so here's one way to think about this. If you think about the Trinity, the delight the Father has in the Son, the overwhelming love of the Son in pouring out the Spirit, the Spirit's desire to glorify the Son, like this sort of Trinitarian dance of delight and glory. That's what we're invited into in the gospel. The gospel is the good news that God's delight in himself, God's joy and passionate pursuit of his own glory is what's awakened in us by the death and resurrection of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so what that means is that is present and available to me right now by faith. There's not a God's not doing something in my life, I wish he would do it, I wish he would awaken me, I just don't feel a desire. Whatever desire I don't feel, whatever lack of passion or interest I feel, is a result of my sin and unrepentance, not a result of God holding out on me. And so the good news of the gospel is, I don't need it. There's not some path of performance I need to walk on to get myself to a new place. I'm invited right now through repentance into the joy and the passion and the life of God himself. And So embracing that by faith and seeing that's what Jesus has provided for me. That's what God's inviting me into right now. The Holy Spirit exists right now to awaken joy and passion and life and goodness and fruitfulness in me. And that's available just because Jesus died for me, just because Jesus has risen from death and sent the Spirit. Those things are available to me right now. And so whenever I hear people using the narrative of that they find themselves in this place of sloth, and their language is, I just got to find my way back to God, or I don't know what it's going to take for me to, you know, get back to where I was before. I just want to disempower that narrative and say, no, there's not a path for you to walk back toward. This is available to you right now. That's the good news of the gospel. All you need to embrace is repentance and faith. And that faith looks like seeking God, right? Awakening, saying, all right, God's give me more of your delight in yourself and more of your hunger and your appetite to know and delight in your own glory. That's available to me. That's present for me. Give me that. Let me awaken that. Let me chase after that.
So as you've talked to people about that, have you encountered those that would, at least have you discerned whether they've said this explicitly or just you discerned that they sort of want this done without them having to put any effort in?
Of course, because that's what sloth is.
But also in the sense that maybe you tell them, okay, do this, and they say they go and do it a week, and they're just not exactly where they want to be. And so there's this sense that they want instant gratification. They want quick returns. And so when you realize that, yeah, the walk of faith isn't instant gratification, that even just continuing to spur them on in that discipline, that even that is like, I don't want to, if I can't have it right now, then I don't want to do it.
Well, yes. And people confuse faith with passivity. And as Scotty Smith reminded us when he was here, I think he was actually using the words of Dallas Willard. That's where I first found this quote. Grace is not opposed to earning, or grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. Grace and effort go together. The grace of God being made known in my life means just, I have the power to get up tomorrow and read the Bible. That's what, and it might require effort of me setting an alarm clock and getting out of bed and brewing some coffee. Like those, it's not like I'm just going to passively by magic wake up and experience joy in God. Grace is going to awaken a desire to pursue spiritual disciplines. And when people disconnect those things, they're disconnecting the promise of grace from the means of grace. And that's just, that's not biblical.
Yeah, and you think of some of the language of like the Psalms of just this, I'm pursuing after you, I'm following hard after you. It's just this intentional, relentless pursuit. And then you think of Jacob wrestling with God. And it's like, I'm not letting go until you bless me. So just even that sense of just God, not that God is holding back or making things difficult, but just that increase my faith. I want my faith to grow, and I'm going after you, God, knowing that you will bless me, knowing that this I will be awakened to a deeper delight and joy. And so having that promise in the gospel, but at the same time, letting that motivate you just to go after it, go after it and continue to go after it, because God does have immense blessing for you.
And so here's what repentance and faith would look like. One, repentance. God, I see the sin of gluttony in me. I know I don't desire you like I should. I see a lack of passion, a lack of pursuit. Forgive me for that. Free me from that. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die for that. Faith. Spirit, I know that you want to awaken this in me. So I'm surrendering myself to you. Awaken this more deeply in me. Let me see the beauty of what you've provided for me in pursuing you. And then exactly what you're saying, Chris, faith part two, I'm going to go after this. I will seek the Lord. I will pursue the Lord. All the willing language in Scripture is all the stuff that Calvinists throw out because they're like, well, it's by the grace of God. Yeah, and the way that God's grace plays out is you pursue it. You chase it. And so that's faith is not just me claiming the promises of grace and saying God makes this available to me in Christ. It's also me pursuing the means of grace and saying I'm gonna pursue the Lord. I'm going to, by the grace of God, discipline myself to pray, to read Scripture, to be in worship, to pursue community, to repent of sin. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek the Lord. So to land the plane, here's a final quote from Peter Kraft, just to leave us something to think about. There's only one thing that never gets boring: God. The God-shaped vacuum in us is infinite and cannot be filled with any finite objects or actions. Therefore, if we are bored with God, we will be bored with everything. For as St. Augustine says, he who has God has everything. He who has everything but God has nothing.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's conversation. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We invite you to join the conversation by tweeting us at Corumdeo Omaha.
Mike, no one ever tweets us.
And even if you don't tweet us, do. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation. Chunk. Sloth, love Chunk.
Baby Ruth.